This is WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. This March, urban beekeepers scored a victory when the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene legalized beekeeping in the five boroughs. Since then, bee enthusiasts have come out of the woodwork, and apiaries now dot rooftops around the city. Annie Novak of Eagle Street Rooftop Farm started keeping bees in Greenpoint 2 years ago, and last week she hosted a beekeeping workshop with Dancing Bee Gardens. She's here to explain the ins and outs of beekeeping on this spring honey edition of Last Chance Foods. Annie, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
So I just have to, you know, full disclosure, you were doing it for 2 years, so it means you were doing it illegally for a while there. How'd you stay under the radar?
I'm not sure we were under the radar, but it was one of those wonderful laws that didn't make sense. So doing it illegally wasn't actually that problematic.
You just forged ahead.
You just went ahead and did it. And now we are registered with the Department of Health.
Is that what happens? You have to register your hive?
Yes, actually. I had been told that and then actually got a call from an official a couple weeks before I actually did the registration, and they reminded me to do so.
Why encourage people to set up beehives? It seems dangerous. It seems like a lot of work.
Beekeeping isn't particularly dangerous. And I think for me personally, it's the same tie that I feel when I encourage people to vegetable garden or try their hand at raising chickens, any of these things just to connect people to their food. It's really fascinating, and it's a hobby like any other. Beekeeping in New York is particularly interesting because I find that once you start beekeeping, you start paying a lot more attention to what in your neighborhood is flowering, for example, because you care a lot about when are you going to get honey. And I really like that it sort of raises an ecological eyebrow when people start that particular hobby.
Ava Chin, who writes the Urban Forager column for the New York Times City Room blog, came across a swarm this spring on CUNY's Staten Island campus. Here's her description of seeing 30,000 bees.
They actually kind of looked like shawarma on a turning spit. You know, to have this hanging cluster of 30,000 bees was really interesting because the cluster is moving and it's alive, and the bees are surrounding the queen, but they're also sort of falling off and then coming back to the cluster. And the sound actually is really loud, too.
So what should beekeepers know about swarms? This is the season for it, isn't it?
Spring is typically a time when bees are prone towards swarming. And I was actually doing a little bit of research on this because I experienced it myself this spring. And I know that one of the things you can do is requeen. If you introduce a new queen into the hive, you're less likely to see, you're less likely to have the old one lead the colony out. You know, practice makes perfect. I'm hoping next year I don't have such a dramatic event.
What prompts swarming?
It's actually a sign of a healthy hive. I mean, when the bees are doing really well and they have enough honey, and it's their way of dividing and spreading. So it's a totally normal behavior. It is really noisy, and it can be pretty dramatic, and it can last a while. But if you're not in the middle of it, it's not particularly dangerous.
How much honey do your three hives produce?
Well, these are new ones this year. The two I had last year produced, the hive that I had a share in produced about 60 pounds of honey, which was a lot. And then, of course, you have two harvests a year, and you leave in the fall harvest, you leave some behind for the bees to overwinter with.
There's talk about how local honey can be eaten to help treat seasonal allergies. We asked the head of the New York City Beekeepers Association, Andrew Cote, about that. Here's his explanation.
You could akin it to a person who would choose to get a flu shot. They're getting a bit of the flu virus injected into them, and they're building up an immunity to it. So eating local honey helps people to build up their immunity to local pollen allergies.
Annie, do you have any familiarity with this? What's your experience with honey as a way to treat allergies?
Well, I was a sort of coughy and sneezy young lady when I was growing up. I had a really hard time hanging out outside. And I noticed when I started doing work in agriculture and exposing myself to just eating local foods, eating fresher foods, and I guess spending more time outside in general, it helped a lot. And definitely the honey did as well. We used to, when I was farming first upstate, one of the things we used to do when we had colds was make raw garlic and honey sandwiches. And it made us smell, but it really helped our colds.
Wow. We'll put that recipe on the website, right? What's the top thing someone should consider when they're thinking of starting their own beehive?
Well, it's a wonderful hobby. And I guess first and foremost, like taking in any other pet, you want to make sure that's something you can commit to. One of my one of the dilemmas I think for New Yorkers is that if we're a mobile population of renters, beehives are something that establish themselves. And when you put an apiary on the top of your building, you should make sure that your neighbors and your landlords are aware that that's happening. And if you're planning on moving in the next 2-3 years, just build that into how you tend your bees. They don't like to be moved. It's not a smart idea.
Thanks so much, Annie, for coming in.
Thank you.
Annie Novak is with the Eagle Street Rooftop Farm in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. To learn more about local honey, beekeeping, and what to do if you come across a swarm of bees, go to the culture page at WNYC.org. This is WNYC.